Happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Sunday. How many guys know this is an important day? Yes, two of you know that. It's good. Without this day, we don't have a faith. Without this day, we don't have life. This is the most important, I believe, of all the festivals, of all the calendars, of all the seasons that we celebrate. You see, the birth of Christ, yes, we needed that, of course. And it was a miracle, born of a virgin. But if he didn't die, our sins are still attached to us. And then if he didn't resurrect, we are believing for nothing. We are people of the resurrection. We're not people of religion. We are people of new life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you that what you did 2,000 some years ago still reverberates today until your coming. We not only believe you resurrected, but that you're coming for us. So we thank you, God. We thank you that today you're not only going to teach us and mature us, but you're going to remind us who we are in you, that we are people of the resurrection. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, some of you guys are like, Feast of First Fruits, Pastor Brian, this is Easter. Right? Usually when I'm doing a series, right? What series are we in, guys? And what chapter have we been in, guys? For how long, guys? Ever, forever, right? And you guys are, Feast of First Fruits, that's another festival. Why are we talking about a festival on Easter? When I do other series, usually during Easter, I take a break and we do a one-off Easter sermon, right? But today is an awesome day. Because while I was studying and while I was preparing the festivals, I realized God was working on something. And I don't believe that it was coincidence that the day that we teach the feast of the first fruits is the day that it lands, that this day lands on Easter Sunday. You see, all the other festivals, they point to, they obviously, all of them point to Jesus. And all of them point to Jesus as a sacrificial lamb, as the lamb or as the thing that God provides, the Father provides for our redemption. But there's one festival out of all the festivals that point to post-sacrifice. There's one festival that's highlighting the resurrection. I just got chills talking about it. And it's the festival of first fruits. Look to somebody next to you and go, it's about first fruits today. Yeah. Some of you with ADD had a hard time with that one. You're like, it's about first tomatoes. Okay. So let's go through this really quick. We're talking about the festivals that the people of Ezra returned from exile, and they're back in Jerusalem, and they're trying to rebuild the temple of God, and they're trying to reinstitute and reinstate the festivals, or should I say, prescribed way of worship. And we know that if they were exiled, everyone say exiled. If they were exiled, that means that they did something wrong in the first place. And one of the things that they probably did wrong was they probably missed the heart of all the prescribed gatherings. And that's why we're studying this. We're studying this so that we can learn the heart of God, that we can learn how to worship God, not just who to worship as God. Come on, somebody. So we went into the festivals of Ezra, and Ezra, the people of Ezra, are not only rebuilding the temple of God by the blueprints of the Old Testament, but they're reinstating the culture and the ways of worship. And so we talked about the festival of unleavened bread, and we said one of the ways we worship God is we repent and we remove our sins. Another way that we worship God is the festival of tabernacles. We are taught to reside and provide respite for those that are shelterless, those that are exposed to danger. And then we went into the Feast of Trumpets, where we said, man, we worship God when we recognize God, that is God that provided for us. And then we worship God when we rely on God. And we worship God when we remember that it's God who provides. It's God who showers us with his rain and love. And then we talked about the Day of Atonement. We said we worship God by being agents of reconciliation. We said we can properly worship God. Unlike the people of Israel pre-exile, we can actually worship God with a pure heart if we are people of reconciliation, if we are agents of reconciliation. And we said if we apologize well and we forgive often, we can be people that offer great, loving worship to God that's acceptable to him. Can I get an amen? Amen. And then we went into the Day of Pentecost. We said we worship God by receiving the Holy Spirit. We said there's no way to properly live for God without being filled with God. It is impossible to love God without God. And so one of the ways we worship is we wait on the Lord. We say we're not going to do it our own way. Doing it our own way got us in exile in the first place. So one of the ways we worship you is by trusting in you and relying on you so much that we wait on the Lord through prayer, like as if in the upper room saying, God, fill me with you so I can love you. And then we talked about the Passover last week. We said we worship God by rehearsing and retelling the story of our courtship and covenant with our loving God. And today we arrive at the festival of first fruits, which is the festival that happens right after Passover. And that's very important. So we find ourselves in Leviticus 23, verse 9 to 11. This is God saying to Moses pre-exile. This is after Egypt. God tells Moses this. He says, when you get into the land, this is what I need you to do. He says to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land, I am going to give you. And you reap its harvest. Bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain of harvest. This is what it would have looked like. Bring this to the priest after the first crops show up. Gather them, and bring them to the priest. Right, your grain of harvest. Verse 11, he is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. The priest is to wave this on the feast of first fruits on the first day after their Sabbath. What day is the Jewish Sabbath land on? Saturday. On Sunday, which is their first day, which marks the beginning of a new day, right? Remember, their Monday is a Sunday. The first day of creation is a Sunday. Come on, somebody. They said, wave this as unto the Lord. So again, when did he do it? And why is it important that on the day after the Sabbath, for the Jews, it's a Sunday and not their Sabbath day? Okay? This is done the Sunday after the Passover lamb has been sacrificed, right? And atone for our sins. And after that Sabbath day, their Saturday, on Sunday, their Monday, are you confused yet? They come and they bring the first gathering of their crops, the first sign of provision and life. They go and gather them and they bundle them up, and it's more than this, okay? But this is just for illustration. They bundle and they bring it to the house of God. So what happens? The priest then grabs it and he waves it to the Lord, and then it's completely consumed. Let me say this again. It's waved to God, acknowledging you're the one that provided this. And then it's completely consumed by God. Unlike some other offerings and sacrifices, the people don't get any of it back. Why is this so important? Why is the festival of first fruits so important? Because when you live in first century Palestine as an agricultural people, the first fruits is what? Is in a sense your insurance. Because if things don't come out later, if the rest of the season is bad, then at least I have the first fruits. But then the Lord says, I want you to bring the first of it all. And then don't just bring it, let it be consumed. Then what happens to you as the people of God? What is this moment doing for you? You're being tested of your trust. Well, if this is all consumed, then what will the rest of the season be like? What will the rest of the harvest be like, God? You see, the festival of first fruits is not just the day that we acknowledge that God gave something to us. It's the day that our faith is tested and we say to the Lord, just like you gave this out of what looked like barren land. Come on, somebody. Just like life came out of seed that was buried into the ground, I believe you will do it again. And so I give it to you, God. See, for us it's hard because most of us are salary people, right? Most of us are not completely dependent on the land. Most of you guys, if you're like, you get paid and you bring your offering to the Lord, you don't sit there and go, in 2 weeks, will I get paid, Lord? Some of you won't because you'll get fired, right? But if you're not fired at least, and you at least do your job, you're like, I can anticipate this. But man, when you live in that time, come on somebody, and you give up your first fruits, you don't know for sure if the rain's going to come. You don't know for sure if the crops are going to rise from the ground. So when you give, this is not just a thank you. This is a I trust you, and this is a I anticipate you. I don't just acknowledge you. I anticipate your faithfulness. You see, I'm in a mess up here. But you see, what this day does, let me get some of this. Let me get a seed. You go like this. This is what they were believing. Say, this is the seed. They go, you know, Lord, in trust, we plant the seed. We don't see it. It's buried. It's gone. It's out of our control. It's out of our hands. Come on, somebody. We can't manipulate the situation. It is completely gone. And this seed, this thing that goes into the ground and is buried in one form. I hope you get what I'm saying here. It's buried in one form. Then God's miracle of provision and rain and all of that comes down. And then God brings to life in a new form. Something that was buried and died. PB, why does this matter for us? I'm glad you asked. Let me read 1 Corinthians to you. Just to show you that Jesus was always seen in the light of the first fruit. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died and been buried, come on somebody, like seeds, believing in Christ, are lost. They're lost. There is no hope for them. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great, everyone say great harvest, of all who died. Or should I say, of all who have been planted into the ground. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. As the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. Do you know who Jesus is? Jesus is God's first fruit. Jesus is God raising from the dead and telling humanity there's more of this to come. Thank you, wife. No, I know some of you felt that. Some of you felt that, right? You felt that resurrection glory. I know you felt it. I know you were like, oh my, I believe. And you were like, oh, I don't want to make a noise. You must pass that test of fear. Okay? So you're like, baby, I don't know. I don't know. It's just a metaphor, isn't it? It's just like, you're just making connections because you're a pastor. You're just making connections. These are all just metaphors. These are all just things of coincidence. All right. Matthew 28. It says this. Now after the Sabbath. What day was the Sabbath? Sabbath? All right. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. The day that Jesus rose again, right? Couple days after the Passover lamb celebration, right? Remember the Passover feast? The day that all the people of God are bringing their first bundle of new life, God is showing off his. That same day, everyone's going, God, you provided new life out of dirt. There was nothing, and now we have life. God goes, oh, you don't know that this was all about this, my son. Which means what? If this is God's first fruits, that means for us to have faith in God is not to just believe that he was able to raise from the ground the first harvest. The real faith in the test comes when we live for this completely and we say there's more to come and we are that harvest that's coming. Do you see, Christianity does not teach the comfort of lost things. Oh, if God doesn't provide, at least the first sheaf, that first bundle of harvest tells us that he is a God that's kind, he is loving, and we can be comforted by the kind of God he is. No, Christianity does not teach comfort in light of inevitable death. Christianity teaches anticipate new life after death. This is why it takes God to believe this. Do not dumb it down. Do not dumb down your faith to a therapeutic religious hoax. Jesus is alive. Otherwise, this is all BS. This is all for nothing. Do you understand? I need to get a new job. Who's hiring? Honestly. But my Bible says he's the first fruit. And not only that, we are the great harvest. And what happened to him is going to happen to all those that are buried in him. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. There it is again. We carry that first fruit Spirit. We who believe. We're groaning inwardly as we eagerly, what? As we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. You know what that word, take out that word adoption, and I want you to just put, as we eagerly await the rest of the harvest. That's what it's saying. We who believe, we have the spirit of the first fruit because we know God did it in him. And so we eagerly await, creation awaits. Oh, where is the rest of it? The redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. And now we made this a religious jargon, by the way. We Americans have made this a religious jargon. Hey, brother, hey, hope that is seen is not hope, brother. So in the midst of all this, just believe. No, in the light of this culture, when you tell the Jewish people what, hey, if you saw already the rest of the harvest peeking out of the ground, that does not require any faith when you first come and thank the Lord. Do you see that? So now that same context, we say to ourselves, you who do not see the resurrection of the dead, don't you know that if you saw it, that's not faith? The faith is in the first fruit. Because he did it here, we now have what? Legitimate faith, not a stupid, naive faith. Because he did it before and he would do it again. We just don't see it yet. That's why we eagerly await it. But you see, if this never happened, then we are naive and just believing in things that are nonsense. But that thing in you, every Christian in here that has that thing that's rattling up in you, you're like, this is not, when you look at the world and it's not just and it's broken and there's something that churns inside of you and you're not satisfied, that's resurrection glory. When you're sitting there and you go, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way people should be treated. That's not the way the economy should be. That's not the way. That's not the way. That's not the way. That is the second harvest. That is the great harvest rising up and you're going, come on, Lord, someday you're going to rise up. You're going to raise up everything and everything will be made new. That's what I'm fighting for. That's why I got this thing running in me. So, first fruits, festival of first fruits for us. It means this, just like the Jews acknowledged that this came from God, we acknowledge that God sent his son and Jesus' resurrection was of God. And just like the Jews anticipate and they go, the rest of this will come, we Christians, we live with this holy anticipation that Jesus will someday come and everybody in him, especially as scripture says, the dead in Christ. Meaning this, so don't make it a religious jargon. Are you ready? The dead in Christ means those who were first to die and be buried. The dead in Christ are the first to be planted. And when Jesus comes back, they obviously, because they were planted first. Can I give you a Christian hope? Your friends and family who might have passed away during COVID, your friends and family in life that have died in tragedy or, you know, unforeseen accidents or whatnot, yes, death came. But I want to tell you, in Christian hope, they were buried first. And someday, my Bible says, they will rise first. This is why when we do funerals, I get so frustrated when Christian pastors and leaders do funerals as if there is no rest of the harvest. And we say such a blasphemous thing. We say, oh, Chad died. Chad was a good boy. But Chad, we know that by his love, by his sovereignty, he's going to keep you in his arms in heaven. Do you know what? That's not God. My Bible does not teach comfort in death. My Bible teaches that Christ conquered death. So that's why we say, what? May you rest in peace and what? So that I can what? Rest, what, comforted? No, the Christian funeral says, may you rest in peace and what? Rise in power. This is why Christians throughout the centuries, now we don't do this anymore, but this is why Christians throughout centuries didn't want their bodies to be cremated. Did you know that? Our faith in the resurrection is the most pivotal thing in our faith. Our faith in the First Fruits Festival is the most pivotal thing. It is the thing that defines us. So much so that the early church, when they didn't know, you know, they're like, how would God reconstitute me, right? If my bones are gone. So they would not want to do cremation. Now, we now know God is not going, oh, bro, you're cremated. Right? We now know God ain't coming and going, oh, Archangel Michael, who let this dude get cremated? He was going to be saved. He was going to be resurrected. Now what am I going to do? Now I got to go get his particles from the air. What am I going to do? No. Did you know you were made by God from dirt and dust, and to dust you return? And God goes, yep, in that ground where no one can see, that's where my miracle resurrection happens. We don't know. Do you think Jesus was in the grave going, thank God they didn't break any of my bones? Because Father, you're about to resurrect me. No. He went in as a seed and he resurrected in that new resurrection body. People recognize him, but not at first. Think about this. I want you to think about that. Just like a seed being planted into the ground, looks like a little brown little dot goes in. And even Paul argues this, because Paul will say, you guys are so silly. You think we're going to go in as a seed and come out as a seed? No, just like the seed, we will come out with a new form, with a new engine driving us and not the flesh. But I tell you what, Jesus was not a ghost, and the rest of the harvest is not a metaphor. That would suck, wouldn't it? If you were a Jew and then you offered this, and then God said, I just want you to know there is no real harvest. The rest of it is just a metaphor. And you're like, Lord, why'd you do that? I gave you all my food. I just wanted to test you. The rest of it is a metaphor. No. When Jesus rose again, in that new form, they not only eventually recognized him, but he was in a new form, not a new spirit. He wasn't a ghost. He was the new man. You know, sometimes I imagine that for myself. I will rise from the dead and I will have a six pack. How many of you guys know that's resurrection power? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that you die? What? Lord, I believe. All right, so let's land this. I want to ask you some questions. What would it mean if Jesus rose from the dead? What would it mean if you really believe Jesus rose from the dead? What would it mean if you really believed that the rest of the harvest was coming? How would you live if you knew what happened to Jesus would happen to you? Oh, it's different now, isn't it? It's one thing to believe God the Father raising Jesus. How about you? Did you know that's our hope? That's our hope. How would you treat each other if you knew what happened to Jesus would happen to you? How would you approach the world if you believed that the resurrection was real? I want you to think about this. This is so relevant. How would you go to work tomorrow if you knew this was real? Well, PB, you don't know that my life is like a seed, and when I go to work and I feel somebody like talking to me that way and bullying me, I feel like I gotta just protect the seed. The seed is all I have. But what if you really believe that this seed, when laid down in faith, will rise again? That nothing can destroy the seed called your life. You will live absolutely differently. I want to give you a contrast before we end here, okay? Because I really believe Easter cannot truly be honored if we do not catch the spirit of the festival of first fruits. If we just walk out here saying, yeah, God, good for you, Jesus, rose again, hallelujah, thank God you did that. No, you must walk out going, that was the first harvest, we're what? The rest to come. How would that shape your life? I'm going to read from Colossians. I'm going to read one half and the other half. And the first half, I want you to see it up on the screen. I want to show you what life looks like if you believe in resuscitation versus resurrection. And I believe most of America believes this. American Christianity is about the God who keeps prolonging the life we live. Please secure this life. May I have more of this life. May you protect this life. May you prolong this life. And if I experience any hardship or death or sacrifice, may you resuscitate it. But do not let me die. Do not let me die to myself, my dreams, my vision. Do not let me die to my flesh, my ways. Come on, somebody. Resuscitate me. Many people that become Christians, they go, God gave me new life. They're really saying, God spared me from the consequences of my old life. And so I just want God to keep resuscitating me, even though I'm stuck in the old ways. God says, if you want the resurrection life, if you want to truly be part of resurrection, you must, like that plant, like that seed, die to yourself. And so I read this first half of Colossians 3. I just want you to see that. That is the life of resuscitation. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Put to death. Plant your life, man, right? Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. When you do not believe in the resurrection, you live a life that is constantly wanting to please yourself, protect yourself, and prosper yourself, because you're like, this is it. This is it. There is no resurrection. There is no redemption. There is no new life. So I must get as much as I can. I must feel good as much as I can. And I must what? Dominate and prosper as much as I can. And I must protect myself. But watch this. These are the people that live in the resurrection that actually believe Jesus is the first fruit. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Can I get an amen? Amen. Here's the deal. Here's the seed. Are you ready? Resurrection says, resuscitation goes like this. Hell no, you're hurting me. Hell no, am I ever going to forgive you? You hurt me once, you'll never touch me again. What do you mean? You want me to give you something? What? I have to have something in return. This is all I got. You want me to forgive you? No way. You damaged me. Resurrection says, oh, you hurt me, I can forgive you. Here it goes, right? You want to take? I'll give you more. Right? I suffered? It's okay. Because I'm going to glory. And the life I live inside Christ. You cannot damage me. Because death for me is no longer inevitable. Resurrection is my future. I thought about this a lot. How would I live if I really believed in the resurrection? How would I believe if I really believed what happened to him was the first sign of what would happen to me and all those in Christ? I believe I will be more generous. I believe I will be more forgiving, more often. I believe I will be more hospitable. Come on, somebody. I believe that it will be okay to be sacrificial. I believe that it will be okay not to be known. I believe it will be okay not to achieve all my dreams. Come on, somebody. At the expense of others. I will be marked by peace. A life of resuscitation is marked by strife, by anxiety, by anger. The resurrection life is marked by peace. Because you now know who has the final say. You see, Easter for us is not just hallelujah, Jesus rose again. Easter for us is hallelujah, Jesus is God's first fruit. Then Easter means, that means we're next. Especially our family and friends that have been planted first, they're next. If this hope is not in us, we will not be able to live the Christ life. We will constantly look to cope and deal with the stress of an inevitable end to life. But if this hope is in us, we can invest in future glory, knowing that whatever we give up for the sake of God, God will someday raise it up for eternal glory. That's why Scripture says, store your treasures in heaven instead of what? Get as much as you can now. Because Scripture believes in future glory. So as to not forget what this series is about, remember, I wanted to teach you how to literally worship God. If last week was about, I forgot what last week was about. It was about Passover, wasn't it? So what was the worship? That's right, it was a test. Even though I forgot. Yes. This week, if you want to worship God, I want you to live the resurrection life. I want you to live as if you really believed in future glory. Every decision and every word, every behavior and every treatment of others that is based on your faith in the resurrection, I believe God takes it as worship. Let's pray. First question I have for you for the day before we walk out of here and party, which I really hope you guys stay in fellowship. The first question I have for you that I want you to reflect on with God is this. Do I really believe in the resurrection? I'm talking about real bodily resurrection from the dead. And if you have any doubt in you, I want you to ask God for the gift of faith right now. Because this is not something you manufacture. This is not something you earn. This is a gift from God. That you believe Jesus is actually the first fruit of God. If you have any ounce that you doubt, I want you to ask God right now. God, give me faith in Jesus as the first fruit. There it is. Ask him now. Go ahead and ask him. You have nothing to lose by asking him. He will answer you. Now ask yourself this. What would my life look like this week? What would my life look like from this day on if I believed what happened to Jesus is going to happen to me? How would I live? How would I spend my money? How would I spend my time? How would I treat people if I believed what happened to Jesus will happen to me? I'm reminded, Lord, when you said to the disciples, in this world, there's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of heartache. But you said that you will be with us to fear not. And the only way you're really with us is because you rose again. You are alive. And so we don't have false hope. We don't walk around with a fake smile. Even in the midst of trouble and pain, because you rose again, we have deep hope. So right now, Lord, as we get ready to leave, I pray that you dust off, God, all the dirt and grime off that hope in all of us, where we buried it deep and we forgot about the resurrection. I pray right now you dust it off, that every single person in here today will walk out, God, with that sense of hope, that resurrection glory in all of us. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in you. Amen. Amen. Happy Resurrection Sunday, guys.